This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program on this 28th day of Shawwal 1441. Mufti Saab, our first question for this next half an hour. This lady would like to know, she needs advice. Unfortunately, she has an issue. She is pregnant and she is not sure if it is the husband's baby or someone that she has been involved with.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sister, that is why your conscience is going to eat you up for the remainder of your life. You committed adultery, and that is punishable by death in Islam. 54 Sahaba narrated the hadith from Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, unanimous on that. For fornication, there is 100 lashes for the male and female. Surah 24, verse 2. Fajlidu كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة. That you give them 100 lashes, and that is for fornication. And for adultery is the death penalty. Anyway, من ستر مسلمان ستر الله يوم القيامة. My advice to you, whatever is worth 2 cents worth, that rather you keep quiet about it, make sincere tawbah to Almighty Allah. Your husband seems that doesn't know about all this hanky-panky business of yours. So anyway, cry to Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness. And this is the big trouble that goes on. When we tell you all about hijab parda, you'll think we're speaking about the dark ages or something, you know. So when you discard parda, we must socialize, we must be broad-minded. So all these kind of vices take place. So anyway, you give birth and the child will belong, his lineage will go, his or her lineage will go to your husband, because the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-waladu lil-firash. Yes, your guilty conscience will eat you up. So continue crying, begging Allah for tawbah, but don't divulge it to your husband. Once you do that, your marriage will fail. He'll divorce you most probably, and there'll be bigger problems. So you just carry on as normal, and Allah Jalla Wala is all forgiving. And obviously, make sure that you don't ever get involved with anybody else. Allah protect us. Always, you youngsters and old people. Today, old people, some of them are also not cold. You know, Allah's oath, marni kotni. So remember, read with me now. Everywhere today is temptation. Remember that shaitan, you know, you can't believe. Look at the cell phone. What shaitaniyat day is there? So Allahumma, read with me the dua. Allahumma hassin farji. Allahumma hassin farji. Oh, beloved Allah, fortify, protect my private part. Allahumma hassin farji. So remember Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, may yadman li ma bayna lihyay wa ma bayna rijlay adman lahu bil jannah. You give me guarantee that you will guard two parts of your body, one between your jaws, your tongue, and you give me guarantee you will guard what is between your legs, that is your private part. I rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell you and inform you that you will go into jannah. So today they speak of freedom of expression. Today they speak of freedom of association. So you can go Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, Madam and Eve. So if not shaitania, then what it is? So think properly what we are doing.
Isab, is there a sunnah dua to recite when picking up the mayyat or the janazah?
Remember that people normally read loudly, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and so forth. In the hadith, it comes that we should read softly. We shouldn't loud and scream and so forth. So anyway, that there is no authentic dua mentioned that we must read loudly and so forth. So when we go for a mayyat janazah, it is ibra for us. This person was with us yesterday, and today he or she passed away. So we should be making tafakkur, wondering, pondering, that tomorrow will be our turn. Take one Quranic verse, take one hadith, and take one poem. Kullu nafsin zaikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Quran Sharif is telling us. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, akthiru zikra hazimil ladzat. That what you should do, that remember the destruction destroyer of pleasures abundantly. What is the destroyer, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of pleasures? Al-Maut. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Hazrat Pirane Pir Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah, in his work Hunyatu Talibin, he was a humble scholar. I went to his Mazar Mubarak also in Baghdad. So what he taught us, Pirane Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, I'm named after him also. So anyway, you must remember, he taught us, وَكَمْ مِنْ كَفَنٍ مَغْسُولُ وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالسُّوقِ مَجْهُولُ. So how many kafan are being washed every day? The shroud. But me and you who's going to go into the shroud? وَكَمْ مِنْ كَفَنٍ مَغْسُولُ وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالسُّوقِ مَجْهُولُ. But the person who's busy day in the marketplace, forgets about his coffin and everything, the mall, the dollar, the euro, all that is working. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَبَرٍ مَحْفُورٌ. How many graves are being dug daily? وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالسُّرُورِ مَغْرُورٌ. And the person, remember, he's going into the grave, is deceived by the occasions of joy and happiness. I just bought my new mug today. I just bought my new property today. I just got my son's results. He passed with 8 distinctions. My daughter just got fixed. So all these occasions of joy, they deceive us. وَكَمْ مِنْ فَمِنْ ضَاحِكُ. How many a person is smiling today? Health excellent, business flourishing, children excelling. وَهُوَ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ هَالِكُ. Oh insan, very soon you will be history. Myself, what I do, and it's hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith is mentioned by Ma'aqil bin Yasar radiallahu ta'ala an. And if you want a reference of it, the Salafis, they rejected some of them. We reject what they say. We follow Quran and hadith. So you must remember that the hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad on the authority of Ma'aqil bin Yasar, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. 3 different books I gave you. Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. So whenever I go to a janazah, they're picking up and so forth. So now we're going to tell people. People don't know Surah Yasin by heart, most of them. So whilst walking, going all that, we just read Surah Yasin. How long it'll take? 3, 4, 5 minutes maximum. So in that way, we read Surah Yasin for the deceased. Allah Jalla wa Ala make maghfirat, and Allah Ta'ala forgive them, and Allah Ta'ala grant them higher stages in Jannah. Today, I was with my honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizal al-Haq Sahab. So when I'm there, I ask him all questions. I told him, Hazrat, does Mawlana Harun Sahab, Hamare Mawlana Harun, both Ushar the and all that, you know? He said, both. He was very, very intelligent. Awwal number Nikla Wifaq Me. He came out first in a national examination. I say, Hazrat, but is he your student? He said, no, he wasn't my student because he was doing that special course, you know. There were only 3 students in that class. One was Yusuf Ameriki, Yusuf Talal, Yusuf DeLorenzo, and Mawlana Harun Sahab, and Marhum Rahimahullah, Allah grant Jannatul Firdaus, and Mawlana Faizul Haq Kolbadiya. So we used to joke, there were only 3 students. One used to come out first, always Mawlana Harun. And second was Yusuf Talal, and third one was Mawlana Faizul Haq. So 3 students. But Kamal, they did, see, in that, they used to learn everything in Arabic. And he wrote, Mawlana used to write with left hand. So even today, Hazrat told me, see, unka khat bahut achha tha. The way he used to write was very, very good. Excellent he used to write. So anyway, I just wanted to know that if Hazrat taught him and he said, no, mera shagird nahi, direct student, he wasn't of mine. So that was just something I thought of, if somebody wants to write something, you know. So who are his teachers and so forth. So Allah Ta'ala grant all our marhumin Jannatul Firdaus.
Mufti Saab, the wife wants to neaten up her eyebrows for her husband. Is this permissible?
Apna kaam aur shohar ka naam. So, mera naam, tumhara kaam. So, remember that the husband will say this, husband will say that, everything, then you're going to do everything. Balil insanu ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'adira. See, insan, deep down, we all know we're guilty. And then, outwardly, we give excuses. See, I'm driving. That example I'm giving. I'm driving from here to Newcastle, Durban, whatever. Just example I'm giving. I'm driving 170, 180, 190. The police came out. See, what you're doing? Are you crazy or what? I say, sir, you don't understand. My grandfather passed away and this and that. I'm rushing for the funeral. I'm doing this and that. So he said, okay, go. So my wife asked, didn't you lie? We Maulvi, so we know all the excuses. He said, no, I told him my grandfather passed away. I didn't tell him when he passed away. You see? So all fairy tales we come about, obviously we're lying is haram and all these type of things. So now what we do, we try and legalize something, but we want to give it a, permissible slant, we call. Now see, I'm giving you from Quran and Hadith. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَوُ Surah 59, verse number 8. Make note of this, it'll help you lifelong. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَوُ Surah 59, verse number 8. Whatever Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to do and brought, you must accept it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ Whatever Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us, we must abstain. Finish. Know who, what, why and all that. Our iman means to submit and surrender to Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is iman. Go to Sahih Muslim and authentic hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ النَّامِسَ وَالْمُتَنَمِّسَ You see, today our sisters, non-Muslims, they do all these beautician courses and this and that. I don't say all, but many. So you must remember, then they want to trim and shape and wax and all that. So you must remember the eyebrows, this, that, all. That income is haram and you curse by Almighty Allah. The lady who does it, or the man, but here the example is a lady, because normally ladies do it. So remember, the lady is cursed and her clientele, they also curse who request all this. So imagine what a wa'id, what a strong warning from Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we need to be very careful about this. You say, no, my husband wants it. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad Mishkat Sharif, la ta'at لِمَخْلُوكٍ فِي مَعْسِدِ الْخَالِقِ There is no obedience to any creation, whether it's parents, whether it's husband, whether it's wife, whether it's teacher, when it leads to a sin against the Creator.
Is it permissible to arrange marriage partners through matchmakers?
See, I tell you something. I give you my own family. You see, my father-in-law, mashallah, he had 10 sons and one daughter. Daughter came last. Hazrat Maulana Madani's duas. Mashallah, in 55, they went for Hajj. And mashallah, you must remember, my father-in-law was with Hazrat Madani, mother-in-law, all. They said, Hazrat, this larke hai dua for my. They also made dua, obviously, Makkah, Medina, Mina, Arafat, all that. Then one came Ladli, you see. So anyway, you must remember that. So when he got married in school. He was going to school and he had 2-3 children. Today, if you tell the youngsters, you'll tell you you're crazy. But for them to commit zina is better, Allah forbid, rather than getting married. You take our Indian custom. I'm not saying it's right. Our Indian custom, if you know, in our Mehmans also it used to happen. I know I used to sit with my mother, Nanima, all of them, Dadima, whole lot. They used to tell me a lot of stories. So they say, okay, in the olden zamana, in the olden age, what used to happen? There they see the lady is pregnant. So they say, Naro, when your daughter, when you give your the daughter-in-law of yours or whatever, she give birth to a baby girl, and my daughter-in-law will give birth to a baby boy, so now we fix everything up. My this grandson will get married to your granddaughter. From that time already they fix things up, and you never heard of divorce. You never heard of divorce. Now today, they want to move, they want to do this. Now take, I'm not saying all, but I'll tell you many. Because all these questions we get. Now they got this lady or man, but normally it's ladies. They want to do all this, fixing up marriages, does that. First thing they do is haram already. So what they will do, iPhone, example I'm giving you, I take your name, you'll get upset. So iPhone, I say, Kala, I'm interested, I want to get married. They say, yeah, send your photo. So now that person there will send the best photo of his. He might be not so fair in complexion and this and that. He'll put on some, those contact lenses with green eyes and this and this and all, and send that photo. I'm asking you one question. To send photos and all that to strange woman and lady jais. You, the woman, you send your photo and it goes to strange men, it's jais all that. So your starting is already haram. Second one is this, then they link the two up. They say, okay, this is our fees, you must pay us so much. Now you all two can start talking. So there's talking and already jais all this. So I'm asking you, how can a marriage be good and barakah come when the foundation itself is haram? I'm asking you that. You answer this to me. So that is the problem today with the ummah. Our foundation is haram, but we want barakat results. So you must do Islamically. Islamically, when you get married, I never spoke to my wife. So you must remember, we got married, we went Karachi, we spent all 14, 12 months there, 10 months. So you must remember this type of things there. So you get married, you do things properly, you put your trust in Allah and everything will happen. But today we put our trust in shaitan. Let us be honest, all this is shaitani dandas, all these things there. So send photo, let's chat, talk, this, that, all that. Sometimes tribal also take place. Let's meet here, meet here. So how can all this be justified? I am against all these things here. Therefore, on A also I say, we don't promote all these things here. Yes, if we know somebody's daughter, somebody's son, we'll tell them by that this is a good family. So that you go and try that or something. But to do this and make money out of it, we dead against all this.
Mufti Saab, this person was told not to ask for sabr, and this person wants to know, is this correct?
No, it's incorrect. You must remember that. Everything in Islam has got great wisdom. In Islam, when a calamity takes place, now your father passed away, your mother passed away, your child passed away, someone really near and dear to you. So what Quran says itself? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those people who exercise sabr and patience. أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا. That when the calamity strikes them, then they make sabr. But what is the sabr? Sabr is what Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam did. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُبِّي. That they don't complain to human beings, they complain to Allah. See, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam taught us a lesson. Me and you, something happened, every person we see, we'll complain to them. No. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, handsome Yusuf alayhi salam is gone, weeks, months, years, crying, then he complained. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. Ya Allah, my grief. Ya Allah, my sadness, I complain to you. Allah said, for sabrun jameel. So when the calamity strikes already, then you make sabr. So you first say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 155, 156, 157. Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbi. So those are the people Allah Ta'ala's blessings is upon them, Allah's mercy upon them, they are the rightly guided. Yes. When things are going well, your health is good, your wealth is increasing, halal, everything good, then you don't ask for sabr, because then that is tantamount to you asking for a calamity. So remember, mokai shanasi mardam shanasi. You must know on which occasion what to ask and what to say. So in ordinary lifetime, Abbas, Sayyidina Abbas, Chacha, Kaka, the beloved uncle, Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's paternal uncle, Sayyidina Abbas, radiallahu anhu, came. He asked Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, teach me one dua. Salullah al-Afiyah. He says, after a few days I came, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, teach your uncle one dua. Salullah al-Afiyah. So he says, now he realized this is the best dua. So when everything is going good, so say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya. Oh Allah, Jalla wala, we beg of you forgiveness. We beg of you afiya, safety, comfort, good health, wealth, honor, dignity, everything that's good and permissible. Fiddini, regarding our deen and religion. Wa dunya, regarding our worldly, mundane matters and affairs. Wal akhira, and the year after. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al afwa wal afiya fi ad-din wa ad-dunya wal akhirah. And remember, sabr, you ask Allah after the calamity strikes, not before the calamity strikes. So Islam gave us opportunity when to use which dua on which occasion. That is the beauty of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, how many minutes before sunrise will the Fajr Salah still be valid?
Take for example, nowadays in South Africa is winter. So now, yeah, in our region, yeah, 5 to 7 or so is sunrise. So what you should do is that you read Fajr Salah at 6 o'clock, quarter past 6, half past 6, 20 to 6. You can't be just sleeping so much, you know. And you must Fajr Salah. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Baala Shaitanu fi udunay. The shaitan urinates in your ears. Listen carefully, O Ummah. Every day you must Fajr Salat. The shaitan urinates in your ears. That's why the Ummah thing is all upside down thing, because Fajr is a big test. So sleep late, can't wake up and all these type of things. So by quarter to 7, 10 to 7, you must be finished. You can't be going right up to that 5 to 7 and all that, then you're going to read just haphazardly. No, wake up a little bit early, the nights are long and so forth. So make sure you read your 2 rakat Sunnah Muakkadah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding that Sunnah Muakkadah, khayrun min ad-dunya. It's so important, no important, is greater than the whole world and whatever it contains. Therefore, it's called Aqadus Sunan. The most important of the Sunnat Salat is the Sunnat of Fajr Salat. Qul ya kafirun, qul huwallah. Sunnat Surahs. And in Fajr Salat, you read Qul a'udhu bi falaq, qul bin nas. Especially if you're a musafir, that is what Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. So it shows everywhere we have guidance. Guidelines and teachings of the Master Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, when one hears the name, the Mubarak name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it permissible to read the durood in the heart, or is it necessary for lip movement?
Remember that it just depends where you're hearing it. For example, the Imam Sahib read Muhammadur Rasulullah, or the Imam Sahib read Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So you should not be reading salawat and durood sharif with lip movement. Yes, if you want in your mind you read, that's fine, there's no problem with that, but not with tahriq. You don't move your lips and so forth. Remember that. Yes, out of salat, then obviously you must read. Remember that the more salawat, durood sharif we read. Therefore, the ulama have written, the first time we hear the Mubarak blessed name of Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to respond is wajib. And all the other times is sunnah mustahab. And remember, you know the famous hadith we did down in Ramadan. Ameen, ameen, ameen. So one person, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when my name is taken, falam yuswalli alayhi. And that person is so bakhil that he does not read durood sharif salawat upon me, then he'll be destroyed. So the more we read, the more the blessed we become. The love for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increases. And inshallah, that becomes our zari'a and means of salvation as well. Come quickly, we teach you another lesson. Salawat, salutation upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, durood sharif. Do you know what is durood sharif? Durood sharif, durood is a word in Farsi, Persian, what they speak in Iran and that. So remember, if you study Persian, then you will know when they have a harvest and they have, you know, their crops, and they have a bumper harvest, bumper crops. So they call that durood. So when we read durood sharif, what will happen? That Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will bless us with abundant reward like that bumper harvest and bumper crops. Can we imagine just the word, how great it is? So remember, ya dakhil ad-dar, salli ala nabi al-mukhtar. Oh, you Muslim, you're entering the masjid. So did you read? So this is the sha'ir, the poet saying, ya dakhil ad-dar, salli ala nabi al-mukhtar. You're entering the house of Allah. So you must read salawat upon the chosen, selected nabi of Allah, jalla wa ala. Learn the dua. Come quickly. Now we're entering the masjid, right? Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, rabbi ighfirli dhunubi, allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. So we leave out all these things here. So these are the sunnah. Open Sunan Nasai, Sunan Ibn Majah, open Ibn Sunni. So many hadith kitab, authentic hadith all this. Bismillah, in the name of Allah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, in the name of salawatil salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbi ghfirli dhunubi, forgive me my sins. We go in the masjid. Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik, open the doors of mercy for me, Ya Allah. We leaving the masjid. We entered with the right foot, we leave with the left foot. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi ghfirli dhunubi. Same duas, right? Then Allahumma, now we going out in the world, back to the shop, back to the job, back to the farm, factory. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Ya Allah, I ask of you your fadl, your grace, your benevolence, your mercy. Allah, give me barakah, blessing in my shop and job. And in Ibn Majah, learn all this authentic hadith. That today when I went for Zohar, I read it. So I didn't even dream I'm to tell you this. So you must remember, we come out from the masjid, then we read this part also. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Allahumma asimni min ash-shaytanir rajim. I'm reading now, read with me. Allahumma aswimni min ash-shaytanir rajim. Ya Allah, you protect me from Satan the accursed. So today all these waswasa and whisperings come from Shaitan and his cronies and human Shaitan and the jinn Shaitan. Shayateen al-insi wal-jinni yuhi ba'duhum ila ba'din zukhruf al-qawli ghurura. You get the Shaitan in human form. You get the Shaitan in jinn form. They work in cahoots with one another. They collude with one another. There's no shortage of them today, nowadays. So if we ask Allah, Ya Allah, you give me all the halal things and protect me from the Shaitan. Allahumma asimni min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Ibn Majah, authentic hadith.
Sisab, is there a dua to read if you have misplaced your keys or your valuables so you can find them?
Yeah, in our street, there was big damal. 3 days, 4 days, the people never had lights. You know, with Allah's shukr, we had with Allah's mercy. Yesterday, the one brother said, he said one key was missing and they couldn't find the key. You know, in New South Africa, a lot of things go missing. So even the whole bank went missing and all that. Anyway, so they found the key after 3 days or so. So imagine. People was cold, and they had no for 36, 48, 50 hours there. Allah make easy. So yes, your key is missing. Which key? Tajorini chabi. He said, my safe key is missing. So that key we have to look for. So read, Ya Jami'u, Ya Jami'u, Ya Jami'u. Ya Allah, let me and my key get together. So inshallah, you will find it. Then you want surah wa-duha. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Wa wajadaka dhalan fahada. Wa wajadaka a'ilan fa'aghna. So inshallah, you read surah wa-duha. So Allah Ta'ala will bring the key back, or you will find the key somewhere, inshallah. So inshallah, don't worry. Always remain positive with Allah.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us that now to the final break. And after this, we continue with the Q&A once again.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 28 day of Shawwal, 1441. Our next question that we commence this last 30 minute session. Mufti Sahib, this person says that my grandfather passed away yesterday after 8. Mufti Sahib, can Mufti Sahib please advise on what to recite for the days now?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First and foremost, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You, the family member, should learn the following dua. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So you, the children, grandchildren, should read that abundantly. We don't know if the grandmother is alive, but anyway, if she's alive, from yesterday, 8 o'clock, you must count 130 days. 130 days, and that will be the iddat. No new clothes, no jewelry, no mehendi, no henna, nothing, staying in the house. So that is iddat. And the 3 days, the morning period, you must remember. So if it happened last night, 8 o'clock, so then tonight, Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Monday night, 8 o'clock, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, finish. So that is the morning period. So after that, there's no morning period except for the widow. So hers will be Arba'at Ashurin wa Ashra, that will be 130 days. And remember, people like us, we don't know your grandfather, grandmother, whoever. So what we should be reading, Surah 59, Surah Hashr, verse 10, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So in that way there, Allah Jalla Wala will forgive them. The more we ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah forgive them, Allah elevates their rank and status. My own ma'mool and habit is, every day we read Surah Yasin, then we say, Ya Allah, forgive the entire Ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't know who is who, but at least we got this yakin that one day we die, then other people will read. So we should always make dua like that for the Ummah. You make one tawaf, say from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time, right till the last baby to be born, everyone, every Nabi, especially Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba and our family, and everybody should get the full maximum reward. So simple actions, but we make mashallah, great intention, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, mercy comes, and then everybody gets full reward, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, next message reads as follows. Says that the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law issues. Husband tells the mother-in-law everything, so I don't feel confident in confiding in him. Mufti Sahib, please advise all domestic issues.
Yes, you must remember that he must leave now the robes of his mother. Why? You are married now, so you can't be the small baby that you run to your wife, to your mother and say, this happened, this happened, this happened. See what Quran Kareem is teaching us. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, that you husbands, you are the garment for your wife, and you wife, you are the clothing for your husband. So meaning that everything of yours you must sort out in your bedroom. Fala junaha alayhima ay yusliha baynahuma sulha, and for you to go to tell your mother everything is a major sin. Remember that. So now you're going to tell her about discreet private things and so forth. That's haram, brother. So remember, look at your wife, what sacrifice she made. That she left her parents, she left the place of birth, she left her siblings, she left the whole environment to spend the remainder of her life with you. And what you doing? Quran Kareem teaches us, for every husband, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with equity, with justice. In Yemen, we got a nice name, but I don't want to use it, you know. Let me just use it, it's alright. Baila. You know, you're becoming like a baila, you know, that everything you want to run to your mother. For what you want to run to your mother like a bailo? So you must remember that, why? You're the man of the house, so you must go and behave like that. Don't go like this and everything there, like mommy, 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 all these kind of things there. Now you're a big man, you married now, you got responsibilities and all. Tomorrow your daughter gets married and your son-in-law has to do that. You will blow a fuse and a gasket. So how come for your son-in-law you don't want to allow it, but for yourself you want to allow it? So think properly what you're doing, brother.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that the jinnat live on trees? If it is true, then what does one read if you need to cut down trees?
We saw many trees, brother. We never saw any jinnats. Remember that. So people told Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, that's why when you read about the Imams, they were genius, you know. So I told Imam Shafi'i, I saw jinn. So Imam Shafi'i said, you mardudu shahada. Your shahada did not accept it. Allah Ta'ala says, la taronahum. You can't see them, and you saying you saw them? So, you see, so some people see them, there's no doubt that is karama. But normally we don't see jinn. So to say they stay in trees, they stay here, they stay here. We believe in jinn. But our people got some crazy ideas about jinn and all that. So what you must do, O Ummah, read Surah 72. read Surah 72, and that the whole Surah is called Suratul Jinn. And you will know how in Muslims we have, in human beings we have Muslim and non-Muslim. In Jinn also you have two categories. That Inna Sami'na Qur'anan Ajaba Yahdi Ila Rushdi Faman Nabi. So one group of Jinn, they heard Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting the Quran, they brought Iman there and then straight away. Other Jinnat, Wa Ammal Qasituna Fakanu Li Jahannama Hataba. They were stubborn, they did all upside down things, Allah dispatched them straight to Jahannam. So you must remember that we saw many trees, we never saw no Jinnats and nothing. We used to climb up so many trees in our young days, so we never met any Jinnat, brother. So don't confine all these type of things and say Jinnats love ye. We must ask Allah's protection from the Jinnat. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. Ya Allah, we seek Allah's protection from the shayateen in the human form and in the jinn form. That is our most important duty.
Sisab, who was Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh?
Subhanallah, what a wonderful question. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, you must remember, was the ustad of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and his teacher was Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Malik rahimahullah was also his teacher. If you study about Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, I give you 3-4 things quickly. He was very, very handsome. When you study our Hanafi fiqh, you will know when Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Abu Yusuf, who was a big qazi in the Abbasite dynasty, pass a verdict and they agree and concur on a certain issue, you call them sheikhain. They're the two big sheikhs. And if Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Muhammad pass a verdict and they agree, so they call them tarafain. He was so handsome. So when he came to study by Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa's taqwa piety told him, you sit here on the side so I don't have to look at you. That's why the taqwa piety, you see. So one day one student came that he told Imam Muhammad, I want to ask you a question. You are a paragon of beauty and handsomeness and so forth. But when I was young, I saw your wife. You know, she's not so smart and all these type of things. So how come you married her? See, jawab he gave. He said that when we marry because of taqwa and piety. We don't worry too much about jamali and mali. We don't worry too much about the beauty and the wealth. We don't worry about jamali and mali. We don't worry too much about the jamal and beauty and the mal and the wealth. So that is the answer. He said, I want to ask you one question. If I had a wife and she is the paragon of beauty, my whole life I should be looking at her, admiring her. You saw what I did. I wrote Mabsut, I wrote Ziyadat, I wrote Siyar-e-Kabir, Sagheer. I wrote all these books I wrote, and the whole Hanafi fiqh is based on my books. So the person said, Waqi, what a jawab you gave. So sometime in life, we make such decision that we can't do no work after that because we obsessed now with the wife's beauty or the wealth and so forth. So you must remember when I went to Iran in 2013, Mufti Taqi Usmani also wrote this. So Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani is buried there in Iran, but you won't find nowhere his grave. So you must remember this, where he is, Allah alone knows. So the Hanafi students, you must remember these things here. Imam Abu Hanifa's grave I went to, Imam Abu Yusuf's grave I went to, both are in Iraq. But Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, Mufti Taqi Sahib also went, he said I couldn't find. I also went, we couldn't find. So just for your information, I'm giving you this. So he was such a great giant. Listen to what Imam Shafi'i Muhammad bin Idris said. Lawla a'anani Allahu bi rajulaini azimain. Lawla a'anani Allahu bi rajulaini azimain. So had Allah not helped me with two people, two great scholars, لَكُنْتُ رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I should just be an ordinary person. One, Muhammad bin Hassan bin Hassan Shaybani fi al-fiqh wa Sufyan bin Uyayna fi al-hadith. Imam Muhammad bin Hassan taught me fiqh and jurisprudence, and hadith Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah taught me. See, how they remembered their teachers. They should be nothing, but the teacher taught them and made them into something. So therefore, sit with our teachers and you will always benefit something. So we must become a student, min al mahdi ila al lahdi. Don't get thrilled with all these titles and all these kind of things there. So always say, I'm a student, from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going. One lady stops him, Ya Umair. The Sahaba couldn't believe. Look at this lady, she calling Amirul Mu'minin Umair. Oh, small Umar. So Sayyidina Umar said, you keep quiet, I know who this lady is. She said, don't get fooled, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, with all these titles people are giving you. Remember, I know you from a small young age, I know you. Then when she went away, Sayyidina Umar said, you know who's this lady? Her name is Khawla radiallahu an. Chapter number 58, verse number 1, beginning of 28 Subara. قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. She complained to Allah about the husband. Allah heard the speech. Umar will not hear her speech. See, what a lesson for the Ummah. So that is why, don't get fooled. Remain a student and you'll go far in life.
Mufti Sahib, what is the iddat period, or how long is the iddat period after a husband divorces his wife?
Remember, this is enshrined in the noble Quran. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Open Surah 2 verses 227, 228, all that you will find there. So see, this is how you have difference of opinion and fuqaha. إِنَّمَا اخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ وَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ. They differed for the sake of truth. They did not differ in truth. So we went to the Hanafi scholars and we went to the Hanbali scholars. We asked them that what is the iddat of a woman who was divorced? They said, Thalathata Quru. So what is Thalathata Quru? They said, 3 menses. So if the husband gave talaq during menses, it's sinful, but the talaq is still valid. And that menses will not be counted. So 3 full menses. So when the 3rd menses finish, then remember the iddat expires. Then we went to the Shafi'i and Maliki scholars. We asked them, when the husband divorced his wife, what is the iddat? They said, Thalathata Quru. Subhanallah, they quoted the same verse. So we asked them, what is the meaning? They said, Thalathatu Athar, 3 periods of cleanliness. After the menses, then you get cleanliness. So therefore, you must remember, they said that. So therefore, because the word Quru belongs to that category of words in the Arabic language, you call Al-Asdad. Asdad, 1 word, 2 opposite meanings. You know, I told you on many occasions, several times in the past, don't just say Jazakallah. When you say Jazakallah, it has both meanings. Jazakallah, may Allah reward you. Jazakallah, may Allah punish you. The word Jazakallah got both meanings. So therefore, we qualify it and say Jazakallahu khairan. Hadith in Tirmidhi, faqad ablagha thana. Then you have praised that person profusely and abundantly. So therefore, these type of finer points we should be careful about. So if you're following the Hanafi school and Hanbali school, 3 menses. You're following the Shafi'i and the Maliki school, 3 periods of cleanliness. And if the lady is pregnant, Surah 65, verse number 4, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَيَّدَعَنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. All the time you ladies are pregnant, so whether husband passed away or divorced you, then the iddat will be the delivery of the baby when you give birth.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to cut the hair of the baby on the 7th day instead of shaving the head?
No, it's against the sunnah that. Why you want to do that? One day one Kala phoned me, this is last year or beginning of this year. She said, Poiro nu baal to bo haruche. That the hair of the baby, he looks so nice. We don't want to cut it, or we'll just cut a little bit. Now you see, what we are doing, we're giving our own worms, fancies and desires preference over the teaching of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when that same poiru, poiri, they grow up and they become upside down, then we say, ke bo MJ, and the MJ, we say that he's like this, and that. But we are the one, we never remove the hair. So today your wife gave birth, mashallah, Sunday, next week, Saturday, you shave the hair, boy and girl, walau unsa. So boy or girl, you shave the hair, finish. And after that, you take saffron, you mix it with water, and you apply it on the head of the baby. That we as Muslims must revive the sunnah of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will happen? Surah 3 verse 31. Fattabi'uni, follow me immaculately. Follow my teachings. Yuhbibkumullah. You will become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And Almighty Allah will forgive your sins. We all are sinners who never committed sin. We all today who's living, all of us committed sins. So when we follow the teaching, preaching of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will see Allah will make that son, the daughter of yours, qurrata a'yun, the coolness of the eyes. It's like the people, you know, they come for Umrah and Hajj, the men. So then they say, but me, I don't want to shave my hair. I'll just trim it, you know. I said, see, bye. You came here, you spent 10, 15, 20,000 for Umrah. Hajj time, you spent 50, 100,000, whatever. So now, you know what Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Rahimallah, hadith in Tirmidhi. Rahimallah wal muhalliqeen, al muhalliqeen, al muhalliqeen, wal muqassirin. If you just trim your hair, one time Allah's mercy is on you. And if you shave your hair, then thrice Allah's mercy is on you. So you right here in Makkah now, you make up your mind and your choice. So then most of them, they listen and they go shave. Why we don't want to shave? What will the people say? The people will laugh at me. So we worried about people, but we don't worry about the sunnah, the teaching of Nabi alayhi salam. Now this we do with a masoom child. No, shave the hair and say, I'm practicing on the sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, the palace of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, is it still in existence?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala teaches us Surah 38, verse number 35. When he built, rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa, the hadith in Sunan Nasai, he made three du'as. Number one du'a, the Surah 38, verse 35. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Ya Allah, grant me such a magnificent kingdom. No one after me must have such a kingdom. Innaka antal wahhab. Ya Allah, you are the best of giver. Ya Allah, uwati'u hukmi hukmak. When I pass a verdict, a judgment, it must concur with your verdict. When we were in school, what they taught us? All this they stole from us. So they taught us to unravel this knot. You need the wisdom of Solomon. So it's the same thing here. So the wisdom of Sulaiman. He passed the verdict. His father passed the verdict before that. Allah said, فَفَهَمْنَا سُلَيْمَانَ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam's verdict is better. Imagine. So that is the son, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Third dua. O South Africans, O Ummah, listen. مَنْ أَتَى هَذَا الْبَيْتِ لَا يُرِيدُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةَ فِي. Who comes to this masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, with no ulterior motive. With no ulterior motive, but just to perform salat there. La yuridu illa salata fi. So kharaja min dhunubihi kayomin waladatu ummuhu. He comes out so pure and cleansed from his vices and sins, like the day his biological mother gave birth to him. Hadith in Sunan Nasai. Remember, if you go to occupied Palestine, what they call Israel now with their Nazi tactics, you can't even find the grave of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Nabi Dawud alayhi salam. They say it's there, but you must remember to pinpoint it is very difficult. When I went, we try and look for all this. They tell you this is this, this is. But can you say 100%? So this is a great statement we must always remember, that we the Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah believe regarding Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, 100%, 100% all Anbiya, innal arda la ta'kulu atsad al Anbiya. All the Anbiya, prophets, messengers alayhi salatu salam, they are alive in their graves. The land and sand can never devour, and their bodies, Mubarak bodies, are the best, and so forth. Only Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are 100% sure in Medina Munawwara. All the others, we go Palestine, we go Jordan, we go here, we go there. They show us when we go there, we will say most probably, but we can't say 100%. Regarding the palace and all that, so many wars and so much turmoil and all that, so all that got demolished and is nowhere to be seen now. You will find remnants and relics, but you won't find everything nowadays.
Is there a dua to read to invoke Allah for His rahmah?
Definitely, you must remember, I showed you the dua just now, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. You must remember Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, authentic hadith in Sunan Nasai. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Allah, you are ever loving. Ya Allah, you are self-subsisting. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Through your mercy I seek assistance, through your mercy we seek assistance. So read that. Nabi Musa alayhi salam's dua. Imagine Nabi Musa alayhi salam making dua, Nabi Harun alayhi salam saying Ameen, and what he said, Rabbi ghfirli wa li akhi, Ya Allah, forgive me and my brother. This was out of tawadhu, humility. Anbiya alayhi salatu salam ask for forgiveness, not because of sins, they ma'asum, they are protected from sins, but out of humility to teach their ummah. So you read, Rabbi ghfirli wa li akhi. Then he said, wa adkhilna fi rahmatik, Ya Allah, include us in your special mercy. Wa anta arhamur rahimin, Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Now how I will make dua? So it's me and my wife. Rabbi ghfirli wa li زوجتي وادخلنا في رحمتك وأنت أرحم الراحمين. How Hafiz Wadi will make dua. ربي اغفر لي ولزوجتي ولأولادي وادخلنا في رحمتك. Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my wife. We can't say wives, Hafiz Wadi. I think it's one wife.
Is that correct?
Yeah, right. So I was just making sure. So Rabbi ghfirli wa li zawjati wa li awladi. So Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive my wife and my children. Wa adkhilna fi rahmatik wa anta arhamur rahimin. See, every dua of a Nabi you must learn. Why? Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. So Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, Allah selected them, guided them, and you must follow in their footsteps.
Well, moving on with the last question or two before Mufti Saab's nasiha. The next question comes, Mufti Saab, saying that Mufti Saab has already responded in previous questions, but says that my husband refuses to leave his addiction and I've tried everything. What do I do now?
Remember, if we are speaking about drug addiction, pornography addiction, so many different addictions today, alcohol addiction, gambling addiction. So you must speak to your husband and say, see, that I want to give you a fair chance because the children are involved. But if you're not going to change, and I gave you the verse just now, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change a person or a nation until and unless we change within ourselves. We have to change. That is the biggest thing. Mind over matter, as we say in English. So remember, if he's not prepared to change, he still wants to go on with his alcohol addiction, pornography addiction, drugs addiction, gambling addiction, then my sister, my best advice to you, you don't take a talaq immediately. You tell him you're going to your parents' place or whatever. You sort your life out, and then inshallah, he will normally, then he comes to his senses. An-ni'matu idha fuqidat urifat. When the ni'mat is taken away from a person, we take our wife for granted, we take our children for granted. So when the ni'mat Rahmat, bounty is taken away, then they realize what is missing, then inshallah they will learn something. But to continue like that, remember, is very, very dangerous, because you must remember all that filth, alcohol, drugs, whatever, remember, is entering it into you. You should remember that as a wife, because he will want everything of his to be fulfilled. And now you are tayyiba, you are pure and chaste, and he has become khabith. That is the term Quran is using. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin and al-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin. So he has become impure and immoral, and you are a chaste, pure lady. So therefore, you must give him that ultimatum and teach him that, you know what? Enough is enough, and I will continue now. I'll go to my parents' place and so forth. Obviously, dua and all that can work, but the most important thing, he has to change, then only things can work out.
Brings us now to 15:56, the end of the Q&A part of the program. We request Mufti Saab to conclude with the nasiha.
First and foremost, we thank you, Hafiz Wadi, Barakallahu Fikum. Always very, very good to do Q&A with you, Hafiz Saab. Mashallah, we thank all our directors, our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, the entire Capital Group, our Haji Muhammad Yusuf, Hafiz Shabir Basha, and our Faisal Asmal, and my brother Muhammad Khan, mashallah. And thereafter, that my advice is for you, remember, we entering the month of Zulqa'dah. Still, I'm telling you, never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Those who want to go for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala can still make means. Remember, I saw miracles in my life with other people also, how they came for Hajj and what have you. So always remain positive in the mercy of Allah. Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah, wa arina manasikana wa tubalina innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Those of us, I'm receiving queries regarding Qurbani and so forth and so on. So remember, they don't look for loopholes, that if you can't do, don't want to do the Qurbani at home, so obviously it's best to do it at home, so that the children also know what is Qurbani. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba came, ma hadhil adahi, what is this Qurbani all about, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Qala hiya sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, it is the way of your spiritual father, the Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, we will do the Qurbani, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ma lana fiha, what will we get in it? Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bi kulli sha'aratin hasana, for every hair on the animal, you will get one reward. Can you imagine 1,000,000,000 hair? So very small investment, 500 rand, 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand, depending where you're slaughtering. So don't look for loopholes and say, no, I won't do it. Say no, that I will do it, and inshallah we will do it at home also, so that at home or wherever they give us permission, inshallah. So in that way we revive the sunnah. I remember when we were young, my father used to take us to the farm, and it was a real occasion, you know, everybody just waiting for the animal to be slaughtered and so forth. Today our youngsters, they just see one drop of blood and they run away. That because why? Whole day busy with the cell phone and all that. You can't become mujahid like that, my brother. You have to become a mujahid by seeing all these type of things. So that is my message, that inshallah, whether we're going for Hajj, Allah take us. You're not going for Hajj, but still carry on with your Qurbani. And inshallah, remember, faswalli li rabbika wanhar, I gave you the virtues also. Inshallah, next up, we'll have Hafiz Yusuf Kala with his golden voice. Thereafter, the Asr Adhan. Thereafter, Mufti Taqi Usmani with the Bayan. And thereafter, after the Maghrib Adhan and Surahs, and then Maulana Dawood Siddat, and thereafter Sheikh Mumtaz ul Haq, the State Path, and then a successful Hajj, and then around 9 o'clock will be the objectives and status of Hajj with Maulana Qatani, and then 9:30 to 10 will be Q&A with myself, and thereafter will be Seerah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Sheikh Hanif of India, and then 11 o'clock will be Sheikh Mumtaz ul Haq, Marriage in Islam. Jazakallah khairan to you, all the esteemed listeners. Mashallah, speaking to you, my cough also disappeared. My wife made nice tea, coffee for me. So I think Allah reward her also. So Rabbi, we end today's dua, right? All of you make this dua. Rabbi ghfirli wa li zawjati. I'm making for my wife. You make for your husband, wife, parents, children, whoever. Rabbi ghfirli wa li zawjati wa adkhilna fi rahmatik wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, include us in your special your special mercy. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Barakallahu fiqh. Salaamu alaikum. And we thank our brother Lucky here also. He will prepare the podcast and we will send it out to you, inshallah. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Har su'e zahar Madine wale ka, Noorani darbar Madine.